pleasure to be back with you again. I've always enjoyed coming to the Little River meeting. I've always just rejoiced in the fellowship among the different churches in this area, and certainly are thankful that you allow us to come among you, and we're happy to be here and pray the Lord will bless us to continue tonight. Okay, it's 5 till. If you would like to turn with me tonight, where we'll be speaking mostly, you'll find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. A whole chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As Brother Steve began to preach tonight, I had a little bit of confirmation as to why this was on my mind. appreciate very much what Brother Steve has brought before us. And what I would like to follow up with is a practical example of true worshipers. Now, I've already told you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So you know I'm not going to Ephesians for that church. As much as I love the book of Ephesians, as much as I, you know, it just seems like when my heart gets a little cool, I can turn to Ephesians and read that epistle, and it just warms me up. The love that I feel in reading that book. But the last mention we have of that church, like Brother Steve said, they had left their first love. They had powerful preaching. They had the truth. They still had the truth. When we heard that last testimony of Ephesians, that they had left their first love. They left it. You know, there's a brother in Florida that works, I think he's civil service, he's retired Air Force. He was over in Turkey a couple of years ago, and he visited the church house. Well, the Ephesus church is still standing. Quite small. It's still there, the church house. But the church has long been gone. How many others can you think about in your lifetime? Maybe they had the truth when the doors were closed. Something was missing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hope you've found it by now. Verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul addresses this church in both epistles in a way that's different from all the other ways that he addresses the churches. He emphasizes being in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's much more truth about this than I know, and I'd be happy to hear the thoughts of these other ministers who are here. But it seems to me that emphasizing that they were in God the Father would distinguish them as having turned from those idols to serve the one true and living God. They did that. He told us that toward the end of this chapter. They turned from their idols. Okay? So whatever idols they were worshiping, from what I understand, they may have, some of them may have been worshiping Egyptian idols. Some of them may have been worshiping Greek idols or gods. They even worshiped the Roman emperor. But these brethren, living the example or living the truth that they had been blessed to hear and receive. See, I would like to look at this chapter here as embracing and embodying a body of believers who are faithfully following in spirit and in truth, just like we've already heard preached to us. But Paul gives a lot of reasons why this congregation was walking so faithfully and in the truth, all right? So first of all, by identifying them as being in God the Father, there's the idea there that they had turned from the idols to serve the one true and living God. And in the Lord, and so that would distinguish them from the heathens in that area, or it remind them where they came from, but also emphasizing that they were in the Lord Jesus Christ would also distinguish them from the Jews who had rejected Christ. So you've got this faithful band of believers who had suffered tribulation, who were going through a lot of struggles in the early days of the church, and yet they were faithfully following the Lord in truth. They had turned away from those other things. You know, Psalm 115, very quickly. Not going to read the whole psalm, but I want to notice. No doubt many of you are familiar with it. Psalm 115. And David says, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols. I just want to very quickly notice what he's saying here. Their idols. And going back to thinking about what the brethren at Thessalonica had turned from. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. I'm satisfied that we tonight, this assembly at least, are well grounded in the fact that an idol is nothing but the imagination of men's minds. But you know what? Except for the grace of God, you'd be worshiping those things. If it were not for the grace of God in opening our heart and our mind to the things of God, bless your heart. There's no telling what we would be worshiping tonight. I doubt seriously we'd be in an old Baptist meeting on a Thursday evening if God had not opened our heart and our mind to the things of Him, of to His truth. And so he said, these brethren, Paul says, they were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, from a pastor's perspective, and I'll speak to pastor for just a second. How thankful are we for those faithful brethren that we try to pastor? How thankful are we? Whether it's many or few, how thankful are we for those that are faithfully contending, those that are earnestly following after the Lord and doing that which is pleasing unto Him and trying their best to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We ought to be thankful for them. I imagine you are, but I just wanted to make mention of that. Sometimes we get distracted a little bit. We need to remember God has blessed us to know Him. What a blessing that is to have those in our congregation that love the Lord and want to seek Him in spirit and in truth. What a blessing it is to meet together in the house of the Lord
have fellowship one with another. There's nothing in this world any better. Because he's called us out of this world. Now we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, and he's called us out of darkness. You know, we weren't just in the dark. We were darkness. Until he spoke life into our heart, until he turned on the light, so to speak, for us. We were darkness. Yeah, we might have been in the dark, but we were darkness. But now are we light in the Lord. We ought to be thankful that God has had mercy upon us. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. There's three things primarily that Paul is going to make mention of for the brethren here at Thessalonica. Realizing, of course, what we're talking about here is Paul's writing back to this congregation. He's encouraging them. He's writing according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he's showing how that they're contending for the faith. That they're living according to the truth. They're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Let me emphasize, the work of faith. Having been born of the Spirit. Having the Spirit working in us. If we would use the language over in Philippians, where Paul would say, wherefore, as you have obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is that as we follow the leadership of the Spirit and do those things which he works in us to do, bless your hearts, we find ourselves doing those things which are the work of faith. We mentioned the Ephesus church. In the Revelation message, Revelation chapter 2, the message to Ephesus, they had a lot of works. They had a lot of good works. They were zealous for the truth. They left their first love. And so, is it really, when you come right down to it, is it a work of faith, of faith, if it's not done in the right way? Paul would also mention to the church at Ephesus about how that we should be speaking the truth in love.
Right.
Now, that's not sugarcoating. That's giving God's people what they need to hear. What God gives us to preach unto them. They need the truth. We all need the truth so that we can walk according to truth. And whatever we do, it needs to be done in truth. It needs to be done in love. We need to be doing, don't we? You know, that when there's the Lord Jesus made mention several times about it's not, you know, we go to James a lot of times when we talk about where James says not to be hearers only, but doers of the work. Well, the Lord Jesus had said that also several times. It's not those that just hear the word, but they that do them. And so, yes, there are things that we know, but we need to be doing it according to the truth. And these brethren were living that out. They were living that good example. And I look at the church at Thessalonica. I know those brethren weren't perfect. We're not perfect. They weren't perfect. But I'm going to tell you what they were being taught. As Paul taught them by the Holy Spirit and by the leadership of the Spirit and by the truth. Bless your hearts. What they were being given was perfect. All right? Remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Love. When I think of the fruit of the Spirit, he's speaking here about labor of love, and that to me brings to mind the idea of things that we do out of love. But when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, some may disagree with me, and that's fine, but it seems to me that love is a part of every bit of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That those nine things that are mentioned, they're just extensions of where it started in love. And part of the reason why I say that is because, listen, if you don't love somebody, you're not going to be very long-suffering with them. If you don't truly love somebody, you're not going to be very patient with them. And so it is that as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we demonstrate those things that we're learning in the Spirit and then trying to bring forth that fruit, working out what God is working in us, that labor, it'll have love written all over it. Because he loved us, gave us his love, and we want to show that love to one another. And by the way, that's one of the greatest ways we show our love to God, isn't it? Didn't he say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Didn't he say, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me? So when we do something to what he described as one of the least of his brethren, it's the same to him as if we were doing it for him. Labor of love. This church was manifesting that love to each other. And that love was being manifested in such a way it was being seen by others. I got to move on here, but all right. Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Patience of hope. I've forgotten exactly, Brother Steve, how you put it, but there's some things in this world today that just will drive you batty, won't they? If you bother to think about it very much. I don't. I try to avoid thinking too much about the things that are going on in the world today, all right? But when I do hear about those things, my heart immediately goes back to the fact that even though there's a lot of things in this world I wish were different, God is still on his throne. God's purpose will come to pass. Nothing is going to change that. And so we're safe in the blood of Jesus. We're safe in the purpose of God. We're safe in what Christ has done for us. So our job then is to do the best we can to let our light shine, to be salt, to be light, to be patient, to be kind, and show bear those fruits of the Spirit. That's what we need to be doing. All right? So he says, their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. There it is again, reminding them both of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. When you see somebody bearing fruit of the Spirit, it's too late for them to be born again, isn't it? They're already children of God. They're already born again. All right? And so what a blessing it is when we see those fruits being born in someone's life, that we can see that God bears another one of God's children. I used to have to travel the country and train people that I've never met before. And it was always such a joy of my heart to find that wherever I went, even New Jersey. Now, I hope there's nobody from New Jersey. New Jersey, California, you know, a lot of places that I would go, and I'd find children of God. And I know they were. They may not have understood a lot of things about the truth, but I knew they were children of God because of the love and the kindness and the gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit that were being born by those individuals. And what a joy it was to be able to work with them, knowing he was a child of God. complete stranger otherwise, and yet I knew who their father was.
Yeah.
Knowing, Brother and Beloved, your election of God. You know, sometimes old devil whispers in my ear, why do you think you could be one of those of God's children? But you know, I don't have any doubts about you. I see the fruit in your life. I see the love in your life. I see the joy. I see your love for the truth. It's evident to me you're one of the elect of God. And so, these precious truths that speak to us about the purpose of God before the foundation of the world, that God chose, he elected, not selected, right? There was nothing in us that caused God to choose us. It was an election. It was sovereignly his choice. Before we ever had our being, he chose us in Christ. Purpose that in time he would send his son to save us from our sins. He also purposed that his spirit would someday quicken us. Whether in the womb or out of the womb.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And cause us to realize, because he gave us spiritual life, spiritual awareness, spiritual faculties, the ability to hear him. When you're born of the Spirit, you know there's a God. We may not know a lot about him, but we know there's a God. And somehow, the things we do that offends him, and I know how that is, because of his spirit within us. His spirit witnesses and rejoices with truth, but it condemns us in error. Paul said, knowing, brethren and beloved, your election of then he goes on to say, for our gospel came not unto you only, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So not only do we have the fact that they were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Spirit was also there, giving confirmation of the work that was being done at the church at Thessalonica. Confirmation of the Spirit. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The way you can have joy in affliction is to have the presence of God ministering to us. Bless your hearts when he says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples. Now here, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. If I understand what an ensample is, it's a constant example. It's not a hot or a cold. It's steady. These brethren loved the Lord. They were manifesting their love for the truth. They were living the truth. They were rejoicing. Not only were they rejoicing among themselves, but bless your hearts, their witness went forth. And I want to pause right here. You know, I mentioned earlier how that some churches have gone out of existence. Now, I'm not going to pretend to think or to tell you that I know the reason for all of that. But you know, sometimes folks may know the truth, but they're not doing a great job of living it out before others.
Amen. Lord, help us all.
This church was. This was an outstanding characteristic of this body of believers, that they were living the truth in such a way that it was bringing glory to God. Because they loved the truth, they were living the truth. Even in affliction, there was joy within them because they were trusting God and looking to Him. And so, verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Their faith was speaking for itself. Their actions, their love for the Lord was evident. Let's see. I think Jesus would have called that letting your light shine. I think he would have said that's being salt. Don't you think? But he also said that about the salt, if it's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing. Now, if you go back in that passage, and you may have heard me say this before, but if you go back in that passage, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." But then he goes on to say, but if the salt has lost its savor, let's use what he started with. If the salt has lost its savor, then ye are thenceforth good for nothing.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute, preacher. That kind of hits home. But if we've lost our savor, the truth is not sounding out from us. The true witness is not sounding out from us. Other people are not drawn because of the love that they feel. Who's going to ask you a reason for the hope that's in you when they don't see it in you? Maybe I'm doing a poor job of explaining this or teaching this tonight, but this is the outstanding characteristic I see. These brethren have been blessed to receive the truth. They were loving the truth. They were living the truth. They were rejoicing in the truth. And others were seeing the truth in their lives. And so, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Amen. Notice how he ended up?
Yes.
But they were in the Father. They had turned to God from idols, and they were waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God help us to live a life that shows that we not only believe in God, but we also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, didn't Jesus, and I know he was talking to his apostles in John 14, but he said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." Mm-hmm. May it be evident from what sounds forth in our life that we love the Lord, and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for him to come back to take us home to be with him. May God bless you, sir.